So if all planned surgery is carried out, or the majority is carried out in Dublin, Cork and Galway in these new hospitals, then there'll be very little in Letterkenny. And then you have surgeons who wouldn't be interested in working in a place where they couldn't do anything but the odd emergency. Mm. And if that happens, then even the emergencies will become less attractive as a form of work, and nobody will work in the hospitals at all. And then you'll end up with a cottage hospital in Letterkenny.
And you know, there is a difficulty in recruiting already. There's nearly 20 consultants posts, full-time consultant posts at LUH, unfilled as far as I'm aware. One of those is the one that you vacated.
Yeah, that's, I think, hopefully going to be interviewed in the coming months, but I don't know if that will be delayed, because the only contract being offered now is a contract which denies you access to private treatment or through private work, and also is gagging you in some respects. So my successors won't be able to come on Highland Radio and talk the way I have about the health service over the past number of years, because effectively they'll be gagged by this new contract, and it's a very unattractive contract. But that aside, the contract will not be a level playing across the board. A lot of hospitals are not HSE hospitals, excuse me, sort of a lot of the hospitals, majority of whom are in Dublin, are voluntary hospitals who have hospital boards, and their rules are totally different. Their recruitment is different. The interview process is different, and it's not run by the local appointments commission. It's run by the hospitals themselves. So they can recruit who they want. They can do it far more quickly than the likes of Letterkenny. And also the contracts they're offered, I suspect, will be slightly different to the one that has been offered in Letterkenny. If you work in Vincent's Public, I very much doubt if they will deny you access to Vincent's Private.
Mm. And like, is work ongoing even in your absence? I mean, how is that void filled until such time as you are permanently replaced, if, fingers crossed, that can happen?
Well, again, a locum is filling my place in the hospital, and he commenced literally the day I left. In the UK, for instance, you have proleptic appointments. So when someone retires, the permanent appointment literally seamlessly starts the next day. But in Ireland, unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way. When it's a HSE hospital, it can take a couple of years, and in Letterkenny even longer, because there may not be any applicants. But in addition to that, you could end up in a situation where a locum occupies a job for 2 or 3 years, because it might take a year, 18 months for the process to go through. And then the person who is appointed quite often is someone coming off a training program, and they then go off to do specialist training in the US, Canada or Australia. And then there's even longer when the place is occupied by locum, because there isn't proper replacement planning put in place.
And pardon my ignorance on this, I'm not speaking about any individual personally, but would it cost more to employ a locum than a permanent consultant?
It depends on what sort of what numbers of consultants you have.
Right.
If you have small numbers of consultants, then there's a lot of on-call, which is paid at a higher rate. So it can cost significantly more to employ a locum. And sometimes when you have difficulty getting a job filled at all, people are paid at a much higher level, because they have to be encouraged and enticed to actually work in the hospital.
Yes. And with that in mind, why would someone not become a locum as opposed to a full-time consultant? In a way, you're creating an employment market to compete with yourself.
Well, I mean, it probably suits some of our overseas doctors, because they will ultimately be traveling home. So if they do it for a couple of years, and then they can, you know, earn money to bring home with them. If you're Irish, you either go into full-time private practice, whereby you fund your own pension, or if you're in the HSE, you're getting a very good pension from the HSE.
Sláinte Care, I think, I mean, nothing's a silver bullet, was seen as the big opportunity to reform things. You're saying it's doomed to fail. I mean, would this government or any government effectively, because I think there was cross-party support for it, if I'm not mistaken, certainly the broader elements of it. I mean, is anyone going to be prepared to rip this up and start again? And perhaps maybe do so with better consultation with those actually working within the health service that have a full understanding of the consequences of certain actions?
I don't hold out any hope for it, to be quite honest. I mean, the problem is there's the law of unintended consequences. Someone does something that they seems to who they think will have a very beneficial effect, but someone else sees something that says, uh-oh, this is going to fall apart because you haven't considered this aspect. And unfortunately, an awful lot of these boards consist of people who are at the height of the profession rather than actually at the bottom, actually serving the or providing the services. And that's why sometimes the disconnect results in failure of systems, because the people who are planning it aren't actually ones who ever really delivered it.
So what are the key problems that we're facing up here from speaking to people in medicine, in attracting people to work here? Like, what are the, you know, the top three disincentives, or however far down the list you want to go? Like, what do we need to change to get people up here?
In simple terms, the hospital needs to be better funded. Letterkenny has been underfunded for many years, and the hospital could have had funding that was ploughed into the NTPF. I mean, as I said before, they've spent about $1 billion in the NTPF. If they built infrastructure in a place like Letterkenny, then you'd incentivize people to work, because the one thing that people don't understand, surgeons live by operating. It's what we love to do. And I mean, as I previously said, when I started in Letterkenny, I had a day and a half a week of elective surgery, and a day every 2 weeks of local anaesthetic surgery. When I left, I was doing less than a quarter of that. So you get frustrated. I used to be a situation where I didn't have any waiting lists. I had to hunt for patients to operate on by running extra clinics. So surgeons are incentivized to work. So if you give them the opportunity to work, they will actually come and work in the hospital. The little bit of private practice is an incentive, but the fact that you get frustrated and can't actually work is the big thing. So Letterkenny needs a significant input of cash to actually increase the number of beds. And then you probably need to ring fence beds for certain disciplines, because the problem with Letterkenny is we have expanded exponentially in the number of services that have actually been started. I mean, we have a very large cancer service now. We have a large renal service with dialysis, etc. But none of these were ever completely funded. And it was really a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the only thing that actually gives in a hospital is planned surgery. There is nothing else. You can't stop emergency surgery. The only thing that you can stop is planned surgery, and the surgical services have been decimated over the years. And the problem is, if they get further decimated, the hospital becomes unviable, because if you can't deal with emergencies, then you can't have a hospital.
So when we talk about beds, we're talking about staff, really, aren't we? Because we could order a load of beds off eBay or something, not literally, and put them into a space in the hospital. But we're talking really about staff, though, and how they're organised and how they're paid and what they do.
Yes, but if you have an expansion of beds, you will gradually get the staff to actually service those beds. One of the other issues, of course, is the fact that the NTPF effectively funded the development of private hospitals, and now the government wants to build three new elective hospitals. God alone knows where they will get the nursing staff, the radiographers, physiotherapists, ward clerks, junior doctors to actually run those. So they will end up, as the private hospital sector has done, is taking trained people that have been trained in the public service and basically getting them to work in the private sector. And if you have three large new hospitals in three different towns, like Dublin, Cork and Galway, which would be attractive for a lot of people to work, there may be an exodus of staff to those units from places, again, like Letterkenny, making recruitment of staff even harder.
Right. So, I mean, if we had a three-point plan, and you've touched on much of it, and I know it's not that simple, it's really complex, what do you think we need to be doing here in Donegal to retain what we have and improve what we can offer and how we do it in Letterkenny?
The hospital needs to be better funded, basically. If you have extra beds so that, you can actually, as a doctor, treat patients and actually do the work that you've been paid to do, and then it's more attractive to actually work there. Donegal is a fabulous place to live. I've been here 25 years. When I was appointed, one of the people who appointed me told me I wouldn't have to stay here forever because there's loads of jobs coming up in Dublin. And that is the attitude that people have to Donegal. I mean, the percentage of junior doctors who work in the larger cities who have ever worked in a place like Letterkenny is relatively small. And even then, it's only for 6 months or a year as an intern. It's an attractive place to live. At the moment, it's not an attractive place to work.
Right. And that's the actual working environment, is it?
Yeah. It's the staff are lovely. It's just the fact that you are struggling day after day to do the job that you've been appointed to do.
And that's purely resources. It's not how it's organised.
It's resources. There is a point where, you know, you can become more organised. And in simple terms, surgery has become incredibly efficient. When I started in Letterkenny, the average length of stay for a hip or knee replacement was 8 days, 9 days, sometimes 10. When I left, my patients were in 2 days on average. A significant portion were going over after 1 day. All the operations we used to bring people into hospital for, we did in day surgery, and we were encouraged to move everything to day surgery, but day surgery never expanded to meet that demand. Mm. So everything in the hospital was done to make surgery as efficient as possible, and the resources that surgeons used to use were moved to other services, and therefore your waiting list just got bigger and bigger.